Welcome to A Slob Comes Clean, the podcast. I am Dana K. White. I share my personal deslobification process. As I figure out ways to keep my own home under control, I share the truth about cleaning and organizing strategies that actually work in real life for real people. People who don't love cleaning and organizing. Thanks for joining me today. This is podcast number 386. And I'm calling it Looking at Decluttering as a Way to Rediscover and Honor Your Treasures. So this is something for me that it was kind of a powerful shift when I realized that decluttering is not, I mean, it's about getting rid of stuff for sure, but it's not just about getting rid of stuff. Like, it's getting rid of stuff with the goal of actually being able to enjoy the things that really, really do matter to me. So decluttering is less about figuring out what doesn't matter and more about identifying what does matter. Okay. So anyway, this is a conversation that we have, and that's the overall theme of it. But I enjoyed this conversation that I had with one of my Patreon members. And if you want to know more about being a member of our Patreon group, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/aslobcomesclean and learn more there about how to join our Kindred Spirits group. Okay, here's my conversation. Hope y'all enjoy.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Lee, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm excited to get to talk to you today. So, tell me a little bit about yourself. What's your unique life situation?
I live in a northern, very cold here right now. I have a husband of 16 years and an 11-year-old daughter. We live in a moderate, modest-sized house that we moved into about 4 years ago. And two cats, a dog, and my husband and I both work full-time jobs, daughter's in school, and I don't know, I guess I don't know where to go from there.
Yeah, no, that's what I want to know. I asked that question because I think it's exciting to see, because I share my life, but my life is different. I mean, everybody has their own unique situation. And so I'm like, I'm nosy. And I like to know things, but but I also think it helps other people to be like, oh, okay, this does work for someone who has a full-time job outside the home and blah, blah. This does work for, somebody who does have kids or doesn't have kids or is in this phase of life or is in that phase of life or whatever. And so I just feel like it's important to do that. So thank you for sharing. Okay, tell me about some things that are working well for you in your home.
Have started with doing the dishes every day. That has made a big impact on just keeping up on the clutter in the house and making it seem cleaner around here. I have also kind of done the same thing with doing a small load of laundry, trying to do that every day unless there absolutely really isn't anything to do, because laundry is one of those things that'll sneak up on me and become overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things are going really well. Overall, I've just been really trying to implement, 5-minute pickups around the house and throwing away garbage, just remembering to do the little things, as they come up, because like you have said, that naturally I don't see the mess or feel the need to do anything about a mess when it's just a tiny mess. Either I don't notice it or it's a disaster. So I've just been very conscious of that type of thinking since I started listening to your podcasts and reading your books and things. So just kind of consciously looking for the trash or the clutter or this goes somewhere else. So all of those things have really helped me inside my house. And I'm just kind of continuing to do those things and get better at it. I discovered you a couple of months ago. So,
oh, yay.
When I started listening to you, I heard you said, I realize I've been a slob all my life. And I thought, this of life, you know, I'll get my own place. I'll have a dorm room. I'll get my own place. I'll get married, have a house, that these things were going to change. And no, from the time I was a little girl and then in college and with roommates and without roommates, and on to married life. I'm 43 years old. And I've pretty much accepted the way I am, but like talking, listening to you and the kindred spirits, I'm able to see that hey, there's like hope for me.
Yeah. And it's a balance there, because I firmly believe that to make the progress, you do have to accept that it's a legitimate challenge, that it really is part of who you are to see things differently, not a part of who you are to have a messy house. That's never what we're saying. We're not saying there's no hope for you, but the hope comes in the realization that, oh, okay, I'm not like the people who this stuff is easy for. I'm not like the people who can't imagine going to bed with, you know, dirty dishes in the sink. Instead, I mean, I don't know if that's you or not, but for me it was. But like, I'm not like that. And knowing that is the thing that's going to help me actually make my house better, because I'm going to stop trying to worry about the way they do things and instead figure out what does work for me. So that's huge. It's a big deal. So tell me, you had in your notes that, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, but you had in the notes that I have that Take It There Now has been impactful in your home.
Yeah. Being conscious of when things are out of place throughout the day, you know, there's a sock laying over here or a, you know, baseball cap sitting somewhere. Gosh, I know where that goes. I can take it there. I'm even going in the same direction. I can do that now. Isn't something that would have done before in general. And I'm doing it like naturally. And on days when I'm feeling extremely energetic, then I start kind of just doing it compulsively, and I find. And it's something that was just never part of my natural behavior before. And then as far as if I am going through a particular cluttered countertop or something like that, just going through the process of the trash and then Take It There Now, those two steps can really make a huge impact if you don't even get any further than that, you know,
exactly,
on that particular moment. So,
I think seeing the value of it in that purposeful time of, okay, I'm decluttering, I'm going to follow the process. Oh, wow. That made a huge difference. And then that starts to open your eyes to other times when you can take it there now or do it now. So I love it. Okay. So let's talk about some of your situations that you would like to discuss today.
Well, the first one and the big one is, how do I tackle this sentimental hoard that I have in our garage? We're waiting for spring to arrive here. And in our climate, you have to, you know, I don't have a heated garage, so I have all this stuff out there. It's like my whole life's worth of things that haven't ever made it into at least this house. I guess my question stems from, like, I know the steps and the process, but I'm not sure, like, go through the steps as a whole and like do go through just go through, get rid of the trash in the whole pile inside of the garage, so, you know, or to take it sections, or that's where I'm getting lost with the overwhelm, because I know I want to do this and I have tools to do this now, listening to you and thankfully here today.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. It's, you know, it works and you know, it'll work on this, but it is extra daunting, right? Like, because it is so, it's so much. So you said that it's either never had a place or it's never had a place in this home. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. So, through the years, from like childhood, this like boxes that have gotten either moved from like parents' house to college. And then when I moved out of the college, stuff got boxed up and back to the parents' house or whatever. And then ultimately, so with each move, it seems like certain things or things never quite made the move and got a place in the new place, including our first home of 12 years. I had sort of the garage hoard there. And then I did get through some of it and when we moved, but then the rest of it all moved here. And we've been here 4 years now, and I've tried to start the process. And it's stuff like little kid, you know, memories, kind of stuff like little kid jewelry, but it's mixed in with papers and pictures and heck, hairbrushes. So it's like,
So it's a mix.
It goes all the way through my,
right.
Yeah. And plus I know there's trash. I mean, what is trash now, you know?
Yeah.
So
you know there's sentimental stuff out there. You also know there's trash out there. You also, you've lived in this house for 4 years. Do you like your house the way that it is? The inside of the house, not the garage?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I continue to work on it, I like it. It's not getting as cluttered as our first house had been.
So you're liking it more the more you get stuff out of the house, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have lots and lots of room available inside your house right now?
No.
Okay. I pretty much knew you were going to say that, but I was trying to get you to say it. Okay. So, so let's talk about function. All right, let's talk about function and the container concept. So your house is a container. You are working on your visible spaces, the spaces that you're living in. You have seen improvement as stuff has left. You are not in a state right now of the way I'm going to like my house better is to bring more things in, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so let's have that mindset of anything that's going to come into your home is going to have to earn a spot. Like it's going to have to deserve a place in the container that is your home. So all of that stuff that's in the garage that does not have a place and hasn't been living in this living space of yours, it has to earn, like it has to have a legitimate reason to come into your house. Okay. Which means that you can start working out there knowing that the vast majority of the stuff out there is not going to come into your home, correct?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I think you're right.
So having that mindset before you go out there is big. Like that's a big deal to just know ahead of time, most of this stuff is just going to get donated or thrown away. Very little of it is going to come in here. Not because I don't love it, not because I'm not going to value it, not because it's not going to be highly sentimental, but simply because I don't have the space, right? That's the mindset going in. This is how this is going to be, right? Is there's very little that's going to come in here. And just knowing that ahead of time means that things are going to, it's like, it's the container concept. It's just like, you know, I always say that like when I bought the boxes to move into my house that I'm in right now, I don't know if you've seen that video or if you've heard me talk about it, but I bought a set of boxes when I moved that was like, this is how many boxes are supposed to be used for a house the size that I'm moving into. So this is going to be my container. This is my limit, right? It was not a matter of me filling those boxes so full that then I started to see things that didn't need to come into my house. Just the existence of the box, the existence of a limit, knowing that not everything was going to fit, made everything reveal itself as container worthy or not container worthy, right? So just the existence of your home as a container is going to make every single thing reveal itself as houseworthy or not houseworthy as you pull it out of a box. Does that make sense?
I think so. I think that just realizing, like you said, that I like my house, like I'm at and probably still above my clutter threshold in my house, and I'm working on that. And so literally there is not space in here for most of what is out there. So it really is going to be, this is going to be very much a one in, one out, probably more out, even as I decide to bring things into the house.
Which most likely in the past, when you have looked through the same stuff, because if you've moved it 6 or 7 times, you've looked through it before. You've probably thought about decluttering it before, but you didn't have the tools and the mindset that you have now, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So it's going to be different when you go out there because of what you know now, because of the experience of decluttering now, because of you seeing the benefit of embracing the realities of your space. And so just know that even though it's like, I'm going to go through this again, it's not. It's going to be different because of what you know now. So as you go through it, as far as like, do I tackle it as a whole? Do I tackle it box by box, space by space? First thing to do is to remember, what is the function that you want for this garage space? So tell me, what's the function that you're hoping to achieve? What did you envision when you bought this house for that garage?
It's more what my husband envisioned for the garage.
Okay. That's valid. I mean, yeah.
He's been very patient. It's to park the cars, you know, keep the snowblower, and then the outdoor items and that sort of thing, maybe with a small amount of, you know, storage of belongings, but a small amount. Like in my mind, I have the idea of the small amount of space where if I have a couple of totes out there, then be in the house for whatever reason, there's room for that, but it's extremely limited. So, but
that, which is great.
The outside stuff, the cars and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just as you go in, think about, the cars are going to take up this space. Right now, there are boxes in this space or piles in this space. Those have to leave because open space for cars is the goal, right? That's the function of this. This garage is a container for my cars. You know, so having that mindset is going to change things. So I would recommend that you focus on clearing space for a car. Like, so instead of thinking, do I go whole thing trash or boxes individually trash, think, I am going to clear this space for a car. So that's like your visible spaces first, right? And so you're like, if there's boxes in that space or if there's a pile in that space, then you tackle the pile or the boxes and an individual box at a time, saying, the goal is that this box be out of here completely, right? Because I've got to have a place to park the car, right? So it's trash first, easy stuff. Like, oh, wait, yes, this goes in such and such place in the house, whatever. Duh donations. There's going to be a lot of trash. There's going to be a lot of duh donations. Getting those things out so that then you're like, okay, these things are not easy anymore. This is stuff that's difficult. And that's where you ask yourself, where in the house would I look for this first? Either in here, over there in that very limited area for storage, or within the house itself. And then I'm going to take it there now because you've seen the value. Because when you take it there now, that is when you face reality. You know, we're not going to set it in a pile and say, I would look for this in my kitchen drawer. Okay, I'm going to set this over here to take it later. No, you're going to take it now, even though it's irritating, because then you actually see, oh, there's no room in my kitchen drawer, or I still need to declutter that kitchen drawer. I'm not going to add more to it. So I'm going to take something out to make the space for this thing that I would look for first there. Or I get to that kitchen drawer and I say, there's no room. No, I don't need to keep this. It's been in a box for 16 years or whatever. So that mindset of just methodically going through, it will build. The more often you take something there now and experience there's no room for it, then every single item that you pull out, you're more likely to say, not worth the trip. Probably no room. Or, you know what, I actually don't need this. All of that is going to build and build that momentum, because ultimately the vast majority of stuff in the garage is going to go in trash or donate. It just is. but you will get there and it will become easier. I'm not going to tell you, well, just go out there and stick everything either in the trash bag or the donate box. Because for people like me, that telling me that makes me resist you immediately. You know, like I'm just not going to, I'm like, you're out, you know, you don't understand, blah, blah, blah. So go through the process, go through it slowly and let yourself start to realize and accept the reality of what you've got. And you may find out, oh, I do have space for these sentimental items or whatever. But even when you run across sentimental stuff, you're still going to ask yourself the same questions. You know, this child jewelry, okay, this ring from my childhood. If I needed this, where would I look for it first? Okay. You still ask yourself the same question about this item. And, you know, I would look for it in the top drawer of my bathroom, because if that's where you would look for it, then that's where you would look for it. And you're going to take it there now. And then you're going to go, oh, wait, I don't have room for this childhood ring and the rings that I actually do wear now. So the childhood ring is going to have to go. So it's all that working through the process slowly, embracing the reality of your actual life and your actual situation.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Y'all know how much I love summer, and summer's coming. I definitely like to get a few new fun summertime pieces. So I really try to follow my one in, one out rule in my closet. I especially love to replace worn out pieces of clothing with high quality pieces that I know I will love for the long haul. On the Quince website, I searched for wide leg pants to have something cool and comfy for summer travel. And I found the perfect navy pair in European linen that were less than $40. That's really the best part. Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they partner directly with top factories. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. I love that. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/clean for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/clean to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/clean. I am so excited about my new digital picture frame from Aura. It is beautiful and it solves clutter problems. One frame that rotates, so it lets me display lots of photos. There's a new photo every 10 minutes. I am seriously delighted every time I walk by my beautiful Aura frame. Mom, I hope you're not listening, because you are also getting an Aura frame for Mother's Day. I am going to customize the gift by preloading photos onto the frame. There's a super simple app that I can share with the whole family so they can add photos to my mom's frame too, anytime from wherever they are around the globe. I used the Aura app and I had everything set up for my frame in 2 minutes. You can upload an unlimited number of photos, invite others to share photos directly to your frame with no fees or memberships. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code CLEAN at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Is that helpful at all?
It does. I think that all of that is very helpful. I was just thinking as I think of going through the process, that and what comes into my mind is that being realistic and living within the reality that I live in now, because a lot of what I'm going to encounter is stuff that when I was a teenager or a young adult, I thought, boy, it would be fun to have this in my house someday, whether it be a set of canisters or a set of bowls. Me at 22, when I happen to see that and purchase it or say, oh yeah, Auntie so-and-so, my reality now is so much different than I would have thought you know, because I'm not a Susie homemaker. I don't change out my dishes with the season.
Yes. Totally understand that.
So it's that living with in reality of your life now is a and it's part of why I wanted to talk through the process too with you is that's where I'll get stuck. It's just accepting that. But I think that just talking it all through with you and saying we're going to go with a section the size of the car and starting with that and really doing the work slowly and methodically coming into the house and, you know, there's no space for this. And in reality, I don't need this.
Yeah.
I don't want this.
Yeah. But it's going to reveal itself to you as you work through the process so that you don't have to go out there and go and have an argument with yourself about the canisters. You don't have to go out there and say, why did I think I would be like this? It's like, no, if you would look for those canisters in your kitchen, then take them to your kitchen right now. And then as you take them to your kitchen right now, it makes you realize, I love these canisters. I am absolutely willing to get rid of the ones that I found at Costco 3 years ago in order to actually use these ones. And then you go through that process. And as you're going through that process, you either go, oh, this is great. Or you realize, oh, wait, these ones that have sat in the garage in the cold for 16 summers. Or, I don't know how old you are. And I don't want to be like, oh, yeah, no, you
but I'm 43, so we got 30 years of
I was like happening. If you're 27, you might be super offended that I put 16 plus 22 or what anyway. But as you do that, you may realize, oh, they sat in the garage for 16 years and they're cracked. And then all of a sudden it's easy to get rid of them because they're trash. But until you go through the process, it's all these hypotheticals and stuff is just staying in the house. But the beauty of it is every time you do that, you will now know, and you may find out that you had 6 sets of canisters. I don't know. I'm just talking about what it would be like in my own situation. You know, like I grabbed all these sets of canisters because I never actually used them. I didn't have an understanding of how many I had. And so I just was like, canisters, canisters, canisters. I'm going to be a canister person someday. And so after you do it the first time, then all those other canister sets that you run across are going to be super easy. Because you're going to know exactly what you have and you're going to know how much it takes and requires of you to actually deal with this. And so you're going to be able to just stick those things in the donate box and it's going to go so much faster. So it's like everything that you do, even though it's irritating, even though it's frustrating, even though it takes time and you end up making mistakes and all this, it is valuable because it will inform the future things that you're getting to. So yeah, I think just a methodical thing with that goal of open, empty space. You can't have something in a place where a car needs to park. Like it's just fact, right? And so it's like, this is my goal is for this to be empty, actually empty, which means everything has to have a decision made about it, but it will snowball. It will gain some momentum and be easier and easier.
And it kind of just came on a little light bulb for me that, hey, you know, it sounds silly, but I may find something out there I forgot I had that I really do just want to swap out for some silly thing I have right now that I like, yeah, that I got at Costco or whatever.
Yes.
So it's kind of like go into it with that mindset of most of this stuff is going to get donated or tossed, but hey, I might actually find myself some things that I want to swap out because I don't need what's in my house and this is better. I guess I didn't even think of it that stuff that I have to get rid of.
Right.
Or I'm deciding to get rid of. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think that we forget that is a big, that's one of the most exciting things about decluttering is it's you're bringing, I call it bringing beauty out of hiding. You know, it's like there were things that I was so excited to come across, but because it's been in a box or a pile, I forgot all about it. And it's like, this really legitimately was an amazing find, but it's not serving a purpose or the purpose that I thought it was going to serve when I bought it, as long as it's in the box or the pile. So it's like decluttering it means giving it an actual space, a real place, a purpose in my home. And then it's like, huh, that's so exciting that I'm actually using these things that I found at a cool antique store on my honeymoon or whatever. Yeah. So it's exciting. Oh, I'm glad that you can have that perspective, which maybe it'll encourage you to get out there. Yeah. That's great. Okay. Yeah. So what's the next situation you want to talk about?
So how can I help my 11-year-old daughter with her decluttering? And she's really in that transition stage between little girl and just getting into, I guess, bigger girl, preteen kind of age. And whether it's by, like, you know, nature or nurture, she holds on to things and takes after me with that, you know, wanting to hold on to things, you know, keep things and going to gift shops to get things to remember. It's a very similar thing to what I am. And I don't want her to end up being 43 years old, a car and a half's worth of stuff in her garage.
Yeah.
So how do I start the process with what we have now and help maintain that momentum?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, honestly, I think reframing it in the same way that you're reframing it for yourself, because it's so many sentimental things in your garage. And you're like, as we're having this conversation, I can see you start to rethink, oh, those are special things, or there are special things out there, but for them to really, truly be special and honored, they need a real place in my home. And so I think you being very open and honest about rethinking that, about the beauty of, I mean, my kids, when we could park in the garage, they were as excited as we were. I mean, like, we as a whole family were like, this is so cool. You know, like, who thought we were ever going to be able to do this again? Or remember back when we could do that and now we could do this again? You know, like, bringing her in on that process, being very open and honest about how excited you are, about how they're a lot of these things that you thought were sentimental, it turns out they weren't, you know, so like she's going to watch you doing that. But I think it's the same thing with her, just reframing it as, okay, we're going to give things a special place of honor. You know, like, I love this about you, because it is. I mean, we are lovely people, those of us who see the value in sentimental stuff, right? So it's like, you're honoring this thing about yourself. You're going to honor this thing about her and say, you know, I love that you think things are great. So let's give things a place of honor. But that place of honor, for it to actually be honored, is a limited space, right? So it's letting the container be the decider so that she doesn't have that pressure on her. Instead, put that pressure on the container. Okay. This is the space that we have for you to put your extra super sentimental things. Let's put your favorite ones in first so that we're able to honor and give space to these things that you love so much. That'll mean we can't keep everything. You can keep anything you want, but you can't keep everything and it have this place of honor. So, you know, just working through that and really embracing the container concept. And maybe it means either, you know, ideally it's designating instead of bringing in a container, saying, okay, the top of your dresser, let's really make it, you know, the place for you to play with makeup or play with hair stuff or whatever. And so that has to be its number one function. But then here on the edges or wherever, that's where you're going to put your, you know, some of your memories, your special things, or this bookshelf here. Let's make it the place where you display your memories that from things. Okay, well, maybe that means that it's time to get rid of some other random things in order to really give place of honor to this. You know, so it's really just helping her designate and say, this is where we're going to honor these highly sentimental items, or we're going to honor and embrace the phase of life that you're in now. You know, like, this is what you're into now. So that means that some of this stuff from the past is going to you know, there's just not room for it anymore because there's stuff that you're different stuff that you're into now. And that's okay. That's part of growing up, which also brings her to the point of realizing I don't have to hold on to everything from every past phase of life, you know, which is then bringing her to the point where she'll have a different perspective when she's 43.
Yeah. I think just giving the permission, almost give to her to just get rid of whatever, hey, yeah, you really like that, but we can get rid of that. Because I know that even my own mother, and I'd say, you know, I'm going through stuff, and I've actually sent her pictures of just things and being like, would you care if I get rid of this? And oh, whatever. And in my head, I've got this whole story that I need to keep this particular knickknack, you know, because it has family history that I made up in my head, kind of. Like, it's okay if it's sentimental to myself, or if it is sentimental to my daughter, but to not attach a story that isn't true, you know, to particular items. And that, you know, like I said, took me 40 years to figure that out. And I want to instill that in my daughter, that these are her choices, just really like this, or we have pictures in this outfit. If you know, if it's not really special to you, then you don't have to keep it.
Yeah.
That dug deep. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And so much of that is made easier by embracing the reality of the space, you know, like blame the container, teach her that, you know, like this crazy lady I talked to on the internet, you know, she says, blame the container. Let's blame the space. Of course we love this thing. Of course we would keep it if we had unlimited space, but we don't. This is the space that we have. So this is what we're going to keep. Oh, you want to store it in a box? Okay, well, then what space do we have to devote to that box that doesn't take up the room that you need to be able to live your right now life? You know, we're going to embrace the right now life. So it's a process of her watching you. It's a process of you helping her navigate through this, helping her identify, you know, what's important to her now. All of that is not a one sentence conversation and then she gets it from now and forevermore, but it is a process just like it is for you. Did I solve all of that? Like, is everything fixed?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think so. I really like, you know, I just like the phrase living your right now life. I mean, it, and like with my daughter, like with myself, reframing this to be like, we're going to put our favorite things out. We're going to honor them. And we don't need to have room in the container for it. So I think that'll help me moving forward with my stuff. And then, you know, also when I have momentum with my own stuff, you know, I can bring my daughter into her stuff, and it can be kind of contagious, I think. So
yeah.
So
yeah, I definitely that tends to be how it goes. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So the third thing, I have an entryway that is like it enters into our kitchen. It's our back door. It's the main one that we use just because of how the house is set up and everything. But it's really like a multi-use space. I have, you know, like a hall tree with like coat hangers in there. It has three seasons worth of outdoor clothing at a time because of the nature of where we live. And then additionally, so it's you walk in the door, but you're walking almost right into the kitchen. There's a little side, like a side table, a small kitchen table that I have like a few appliances on for cooking, and also is like my husband's dropping spot. So whenever I want to do cooking with certain things and use this as a space for cooking, there's the rest of the kitchen as well, but not a very. Whenever I decide I'm going to use these appliances or whatever, you know, then I have to go in and like do a declutter and then a kind of a complete wipe down. And then additionally, it just by the nature of it being kind of that entryway, it's kind of a constant clutter trap. And then being part of the kitchen as well, I'm just trying to figure out it's as much of a declutter, stay on top of the decluttering myself and get my family involved, but also just trying to utilize the space better.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So here's my general rule for spaces that drive you crazy again and again and again. Okay. If a space irritates you consistently, then solve that problem today. Cause you said, it's kind of like, okay, here we go again, solve it today. And then solve it again tomorrow before it turns into a problem again. So do this. So like, say, I'm going to focus on this for 7 days, kind of like I did with the dishes and with the, all those different, you know, that's basically how I would tackle anything, is like, this space irritates me again and again. I'm going to get it to where I like it today. I'm going to do that again tomorrow before it turned into a problem again. I'm going to do it again the next day. I'm going to do it again the next day. And then through doing that, you end up finding, okay, this is what works for our family and our situation after 7 days, like solving the problem every day for 7 days before it turns into one. And then it kind of is like, okay, this is how it can be a consistent thing. But along with that, the decluttering might need to be in the actual kitchen itself too. Cause you said you have a smaller kitchen. Is that right?
Yes.
So it's like, I'm going to also, in the midst of working on that every day for 7 days, I'm going to really try to declutter in my kitchen, because ideally you need to embrace, well, I probably shouldn't use the word ideally, cause that's always a word that backfires for me. Right. But ultimately, you need to embrace the realities of the kitchen that you have, because it sounds like maybe some kitchen things are spilling into other areas. And that's part of what's causing the problem, is that that other area is turning into like a multi-use, multi-function area. And for people like me, that never goes well, right? Like, so as long as I'm saying, well, this is kind of a med room slash... Go ahead.
Sorry, you'd broken up, so I wasn't I caught most of it, but then I wasn't sure if you were still talking or not. But I think a lot of it, I mean, the little bells go off when I'm listening to podcasts too, but of course, it's even better when you're talking directly to me. So like accepting the reality of what we do with the space and accepting the reality of what I do in my kitchen, and then, you know, decluttering and making it that kind of space. I've thought about that, like I should probably just go all in with that section of the room just being a mudroom kind of thing, because I don't utilize it as kitchen space, and in my reality I don't even use those appliances that often. So that's probably a good option. I like what you're saying. Again, it seems simple enough, but it's like you kind of had to go off in my mind.
Yeah. Well, anytime that there is a this room slash that room slash this room, it's like a recipe for disaster for people like me, right? Like, so instead to say, I wish I had room for all these kitchen appliances. The reality is this is my med room and I'm not going to put kitchen appliances in my med room.
Yeah.
because when I let myself put kitchen appliances in the med room, there's no limit for kitchen appliances. And that's a big part of my problem. Right. And so I'm going to declutter my kitchen get rid of a bunch of stuff, which means I may have room for a few of those appliances, but probably not all of them when I go ahead and get rid of stuff in the kitchen. But I'm going to let my kitchen be the limit for kitchen stuff. Mm-hmm. The size of my kitchen determines how much kitchen stuff I'm going to have. When I look at my kitchen as a limit, I realize, although I wish I could have an air fryer and a rice cooker and an Instant Pot and a crock pot, my kitchen is small. So I need to embrace the fact that my Instant Pot is actually also a slow cooker and a rice cooker. And so while I wish I could have all three, I don't have the room.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the space in my house. So I need to just have the Instant Pot because it can do all three of those things, which allows me to get rid of, you know, these other things. So it's that I'm going to put my favorite things in first, but I'm going to embrace the reality of the size of my kitchen and let that determine how much of these things I can keep. But as long as I'm like, well, I also keep kitchen stuff in the mudroom space, then the limit's not there. And then I just keep it all. And
that sounds really gross when you say it.
And yet I'm going to tell you, I bet you 50% of the people listening right now totally get it. Like would do the same thing in their house, you know, or are doing the same thing in their house. So don't worry about it. But I think it's that embracing it, which isn't that what we've said so many times today, is just embracing the reality of your actual space in your actual house, in your actual phase of life. I want to keep all this stuff. I don't have the space. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah, definitely. That helps a lot.
Okay. I'm glad. Okay. So now that I've solved all your problems, is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
I don't think so. I'm just happy that I got to talk with you and to say thank you for doing the work that you do, because
thank you.
Really, like you were speaking to my soul when I first listened to your podcast. You explained how you'd been a slob all of your life and through all stages, and then figured out how to help yourself. And what you're doing is helping me. And I, you know, it's just very refreshing to hear that. You know, it's a different mindset, and we are just who we are. So,
and there's hope for us.
And there's hope. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. So tell me what you love about being a kindred spirit.
I love being a kindred spirit for reasons. It's just, I can share my pictures of my before and my after and my stories of, you know, my kids in my mudroom, and no one's going to judge me, because like you said, there's several of us out there who are going through like exactly the same thing. And so getting to see problems and their progress and just kind of commiserate with people, you know, oh look, you know, here's what's going on in my house, it's really nice and it's refreshing.
Yeah I love it. It's such a fun, sweet group of people. So
yeah
well, thank you so much for being willing to come on today, and I think that the situations that you're going through, I think other people have very similar situations in their home. And so it's going to be really helpful that you were willing to talk through it. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. I hope that went okay. I know our internet connection was a little bit wonky sometimes, but hopefully it's all going to work out and be okay. But I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you got something out of it and you can kind of look at your own home in that way, like in some of the ways that we talked about. So just remember, if you would like to know more about becoming a patron of the show, that's who gets to apply to do these sessions. You can go to patreon.com/aslobchemsclean. All right. I will talk to y'all next week. Bye.